Wolf, get away from those sheep.
Bollocks.
You're listening to the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast, broadcasting from Fort Worth in the great state of Texas. Now, get ready for this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd.
Welcome to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd. Today we have with us Larry Dale Carpenter, who is running for County Commissioner, Precinct 4 in Tarrant County. Larry, glad you could join us today.
Guys, thank y'all so much for having me on.
So before we even get started, what is a County Commissioner?
Yes, sir. So, you know, this role is actually, it's quite big because it's the commissioners, there's four commissioners and you have a county judge. And the county judge is not a judicial judge, but he is the CEO. He's the governor of the county. And so with these five members that sit on the commissioner's court, which is not a judicial court, it's the governing body for Tarrant County, we deal with a very broad spectrum of things. We deal everything from your county tax rate, JPS hospital. We appoint board members, fill vacated elected positions, even your favorite, the elections. We oversee the elections administration. So the list goes on and on and on, but some of the most important things I mentioned there. But why this seat is quite important is because for almost four decades, we've had only one guy in this position. He's been there, I believe, from 1983 all the way up until this time right now. And so this is going to be the first time we're going to be able to get somebody new, some young blood to go in there. I feel like over a period of time, this position has been totally neglected with the person that's in there. In Precinct 4, we are kind of like the last frontier of the county because we have a lot of areas, we have a lot of land that is undeveloped. And a lot of people that live in Precinct 4, they don't want to see this get eroded. They want to see our conservative values stay in place. Tarrant County, as you probably know, is growing at a breakneck speed. And so a lot of folks who are native out in the area where I'm from, they don't want us to see our county get overran by people that are moving here that have different values. Now, I know that Tarrant County is growing with a lot of folks that are not from Texas. But at the same time, I think there is this big misconception that a lot of these guys that are coming here are actually kind of liberal. But they're not. I'm out there. I talk to thousands of people. My church, for instance, probably about 30 or 40% of these guys, they're not from Texas. But we don't have hardly any Democrats at my church. They're all from the West Coast or from the New England states, New York, and they're fleeing exactly what we don't want to have come here. So we're actually getting the good guys. And so I wanted to at least address that issue because I always thought the people fleeing the West Coast, I always thought they were some people that were trying to bring these values that we don't hold dear, but it's not. I think the overwhelming majority are folks that are scared and they don't want to live in that. And I mean, just like probably you know, you would never want to live in the conditions that these guys are. So we can't really, blame them for this.
Right.
But kind of give you a little bit of background information on me. So I was born and raised in the northwest section of Tarrant County. That's near Eagle Mount Lake. My parents, they're all out there. My grandpa, he's the former sheriff of Tarrant County. He was in office, I believe, from 86 to 92. I have a vested interest in keeping this county in a very conservative spot because it's something I call home. It's no place where I don't want to go anywhere else. When I die, I want to be buried in Tarrant County. And like I was telling you earlier, there's a lot of changes that are happening in Tarrant County. And I believe if we get somebody that's conservative like me, that's a grassroots constitutional conservative, we can be able to put Tarrant County in its rightful spot and not have these principles get eroded. Because I think there is some people that want to see us take a different direction and they want us to see us become something that we shouldn't. They want us to become a Dallas or a Travis or a Bear or a Harris County. that's something I never want to see happen in Tarrant County.
Sure. But before we go too much farther, though, let's talk about what Precinct 4 is, because we got four precincts in Tarrant County. So Precinct 4, what area of Tarrant County does that represent?
Yeah,
geographically.
So, yeah, it's pretty big, broad spectrum of land that we cover. So the northwest quadrant of Tarrant County has about 15 municipalities, I believe 11 school districts. So we cover Azle, Haltham City down to the southeast, Lakeside, River Oaks, Saginaw, Blue Mound, Westward Village, parts of downtown Fort Worth, the hospital district. So we have the most cities or municipalities within a county probably than any other major metropolitan area or county in the state of Texas. So I believe in Tarrant County, we have like 41, 42 municipalities. So there's so many little cities that we oversee and we help out. So as county commissioner, we do a lot of interlocal agreements with smaller cities. We help get the roads, bridges, infrastructure developed. And one thing that has to be done within Precinct 4 is infrastructure. We're actually way behind. I don't know how this wasn't planned out a little bit better, but it wasn't. And so the biggest complaint I get is, well, I'm sitting in traffic, or, you know, I can't get anywhere. These roads, they were meant for horse and carriage, and now we've got traffic that's backed up all the way to 820. And I want to be forward-thinking on this ideology. We've got to have infrastructure that is going to plan for 15, 20 years ahead, and not just 2 years, because we're not even doing that in Precinct 4. We're just going along to get along now, and this is unacceptable because it's only going to get worse. People are fleeing. They want to come to God's country, and God's country's Tarrant County. And because we have a conservative government, and Tarrant County being the third largest county in the state of Texas by population, and the largest conservative county in the state of Texas, we've got a plan. And so I've sat down with mayors, city councilmen, city managers to discuss issues that we can actually take head on day one. Like Azle, for instance, you have major roadways that are only going to get worse. We have a bridge that's trying to be proposed with the city of Fort Worth and get that in place. Now, for me, there's a lot of things that I don't necessarily agree with the city of Fort Worth. There's going to be a lot of issues that if they're trying to propose this within my precinct, we might have a little heads bump there. But ultimately, I'm going to do what is best for the people in Precinct 4, and that's upholding our conservative values, but at the same time, being able to put the road networks and things in place that's going to make it easier for people to get around.
Now, one of the concerns over the last 5 years is that we used to think a Republican is a Republican, a Democrat is a Democrat, but what we've seen is the Rhino appear, Republican in name only, and now you have to do research almost behind each candidate, regardless of the party they represent, to see how they truly feel. Whereas before, I think we always to think they're on the same page. The Democrats seem to be very much on the same page, and they all get behind an idea, even if it's a train wreck. But there seems to be so much on a national level disagreement within the Republican Party. How do we kind of stop that at a local level, preventing things getting done? I mean, what are your relationships with the other Republican people in office in Tarrant County? Do you communicate regularly? Do you all have the same game plan, or does everybody have their own game plan and come together and just kind of work on the things they have in common?
Well, I'll bring this up, and I think it's very important people know, because me as a first-time candidate office seeker, I've seen a lot of stuff within the Tarrant County Republican Party that I'm not too impressed by. The county chair, I don't know if he's doing what's best, but I will say that we have precinct chairs that are supposed to represent little districts within Tarrant County. more than half of those aren't even filled. And we have conservative people all over the place. I don't think we're doing enough to help push the Republican Party forward. I think there is a lot of rhinos that are running for certain offices. I'm doing my best to collaborate and work with really true constitutional conservative people, whether they hold office right now or they're seeking office, because I feel like the only way to push us forward as a county is to get real conservative people in office and not these rhinos. I mean, the county judge is extremely important. It is the CEO of the county. He's the governor, basically. We're an extension of the state, the county judges. And so we act on behalf of what the governor says. And so with the people that are seeking a county judge, there's somebody that has a very big name out there that is seeking this office that I'm not too impressed with, and that is the epitome of what you're talking about with Rhino.
I'm surprised, sorry. Sorry, I had to clear my
throat. Well, you know.
Are you okay? Do you need a drink?
Betsy Price, sorry.
Yeah, I'll just have a quick drink.
Yeah. You know.
You don't have COVID, do you? You should have a mask on if you're going to cough.
I have been collecting every variant. I've got a little badge for every variant of COVID I've had.
I thought they were patches now.
Nah.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, you are going to start wearing badges if we all continue to take these boosters.
Nine!
Yeah, I mean, I think as a county judge, mm-hmm. we should be, that the person that's seeking this office and the person that wins this office should be somebody that is going to be very conservative with some of the policies they make, because me sitting on the bench with that county judge, I will definitely be that that beacon of hope, that light that will push that county judge to behave more in an appropriate manner and enacting executive orders, because as the county judge, you have unilateral executive decision-making powers. You don't even have to go to the commissioner's court, and there's four of us. You can just do things straight up, just swoop, and it's done. I mean, you've seen what happened during the pandemic. The Glenn Whitley, just a swipe of the pen. The county judge, he made maximum capacity orders, stay-at-home orders, closing down businesses, churches, places of worship, you name it. That is done by executive orders. And for me, this is unacceptable. I will give the county judge that's in place right now a little leeway, because at the beginning, we had no idea what was happening. I came home from overseas, and I saw all this mayhem happening around the world, and everybody was kind of in a panic mode. But after maybe a 2 or 3 month period, you should say, hey, look, this virus is no worse than the flu. No one is really dying, and the media is to blame for this big mass hysteria. I actually wore a mask for the first couple of months because I really thought it was going to be a serious thing, and it turns out this was nothing. But, you know, you tell a lie and you keep on telling it yourself. It becomes the truth after a long period of time of telling yourself it's the truth, but it's not, and that's what's happened. I've been banging on so many people's doors, and within Tarrant County, I think people understand that this is not real. This is something that is happening. I'm not saying that COVID isn't real, but it's not real in the terms of that it's killing people across the globe in mass quantities. It is it's not like we've got the Spanish flu out there. But I saw what was happening when I lived overseas, and I was not happy, because I think there were some things that were taking place because of our president who was in office at that time. And I truly believe that, because I lived in China from 2017 to 2020, but we'll get into that later. But for what I think what is best for a county judge is to use these executive orders in very conservative methods and not just go out there and start just blatantly just saying, hey, we're going to shut down this business. This one's not essential. Because you own a bar, 51%ers and over, you're not going to be able to qualify for the small business grant. This is an absolute disaster. I'm out here talking to small businesses in Precinct 4, including people that did not qualify for these grants by the federal government that issued them here, and then the Tarrant County government, which is the commissioner's court, divvied out to people. I totally disagree with what they did. They have put these small businesses in such a tight bind. There's a man, and he doesn't mind if I use his business because he's all over the news because he fought back so viciously against this. He owns a small business called The Rail Club Live. And because he was a 51%er and over, he couldn't qualify for any small business grants because they shut him down. And this lasted, as you probably know, for a very long time, and he lost hundreds of thousands of dollars every month. And he is struggling even till this day just to survive. And by the grace of God, people are donating money to him. But now the TABC is going after him, and they're going after him very, very hard. And they don't want him to survive. They're trying to make a poster child out of him because he disobeyed the orders of the county and by the state of Texas for staying open during the pandemic. They are not allowing him to renew his liquor license even till this day because they're saying, because you stayed open, we're never going to allow you to we're going to put you out of business. This is totally wrong. He said he was, they classified him as like a mass danger to public society. To me, this is beyond belief. As a county commissioner, I will make sure that this guy gets his TABC license fully reinstated because we work with local businesses. We want people to stay in business here. This is not a danger to society. But working also with state legislatures here, trying to get funding for other things, getting infrastructure built, small businesses is a top priority. To actually survive and get these guys across the line if they're really hurting. Also, interlocal agreements with TxDOT. You know, we had a big conversation about state highways and about, oh, well, we don't have jurisdiction. If it's coming to Precinct 4 and we have like a $5 million roadway project going on, you can bet, you know what I'm going to say, that we're going to have a seat to be able to discuss on whether, you know, this is going to happen or not because we're wasting money. We had a raised median project in my area. It was millions upon millions of dollars. They never even negotiated with the county commissioner's office. And now they're ripping up a good portion of this because there was like two turn lanes out of a 8-mile stretch. And that's what we're wasting money on as taxpayers.
Now, with infrastructure, some people criticize infrastructure proposals as a get out of jail free card because if you initiate a project where you're not expecting to see the results for maybe 8 years, 12 years, it's like, well, you get voted on that and then people forget about the promises you made when you got elected. And, you know, if somebody told me, oh, we're going to spend $1.5 million on improving the road that runs past our studio here, Golden Yes. Triangle, I wouldn't know if they've spent that money or not. And probably 5 years' time, I wouldn't know if they've spent that money or not. We've got I-35 about a quarter of a mile down the road here, and I honestly couldn't tell you if they've done any work on it in 5 years. I mean, I see a lot of, you know, road signs up and bollards and having to exit and redirect, but I don't think I've actually seen anybody work in there for about 5 years. And so when you promise people infrastructure, just like with Joe Biden at a national level, this Build Back Better, we all know really we're not going to see the impact of those dollars. They're going to get eaten up with red tape, even if it doesn't get redirected to other things before it ever reaches. And I'll be genuinely shocked if we ever see a cent in Texas from that proposal. Yes. But what can you kind of guarantee to the people in your precinct that will get done and made better with this infrastructure money that we have available rather than investing into long-term projects, which some people, their grandchildren, might be the first people to see the results of it?
Absolutely. I want to totally be transparent with people here in Precinct 4, and they expect that of me because, like I was telling you, the guy who currently holds this office, he's been there for 38 years, and people are like, well, what's going on? I mean, we don't see any progression within infrastructure. We're going at a breakneck speed pace. We should never rely on the federal government to do anything because, as you see, especially now, we should never rely on these because we have more control at the local level than what most people understand. And it's not just with infrastructure, but it's even with the voting, with the commissioner's office, with the commissioner's court. We have a lot of authority. We decide what machines are going to go into all these voting precincts. We actually approve vote precinct judges, other things that are going to ultimately help us within elections that we can do locally, even the tax rate, TAD. We have direct authority on deciding the county, the tax rate and what we're going to do. But, you know, going back to infrastructure, I want to be very clear with people when we do have these roads, infrastructure bonds that are happening, right? Where's this money going? Is it actually being done? For Precinct 4, they're going to be able to see that this is done because even within my office, I want to have something, you know, the technology age is actually, you know, within the commissioner's office, it's not there. People can't really understand exactly what we're spending our money on a very easy scale. They're like, I don't understand where all this money's going to. I want to bring us to a point where when something does happen, all right, so this project here on Eagle Mountain Lake or this project here on Boat Club Road or this project here, this is how much we spent, break it down on where that money's going to and be able to have this available on like any social media platform to see, to let people understand where this is going. Because the guys that sit in these offices, all the commissioner's offices, I don't mean to go and be mean about the elderly, but they have no idea what this technology is all about. They're not here to understand it. They're just here to almost collect a check and go home. And we've got to get more young blood in there. I was born, when I was about 10 years old, that's when technology and the internet was coming around. So I'm in that age, and it's part of my life. I can never put my phone down right now. We've got to have people that understand this and want to implement this within our county, within our state, and be able to boost this for the constituents. So we can be transparent on all of these policies and all these projects that are taking place to let people know this is what's taking place, because we all have our phones and we owe it to them. Going to the elections, the elections is something that is a massive problem. Everybody knows there was fraud that took place. And with Tarrant County being the third largest county by population and the last bastion and the light for conservatism within a large urban county, there was some things that were not good that took place. I do not believe that Tarrant County ever went blue. And I know that they're, Biden only won it by like 2,000 votes. That still never even happened. Are they going to try to make this big of an insult to the people of Tarrant County and try to tell us that Biden won Tarrant County? I mean, I've lived here my entire life. This is a massive insult to everybody. That guy never even got out of his mom's basement, but yet won Tarrant County. These people that are here, they do not ever want us to go down this liberal blue path. And I think that with my policies and my ideas that I want to bring to the commissioner's court, I'm going to change the way that we elect the elections administrator. All right. So right now there's a panel of five people that hire and fire the elections administrator. Right now, his name is Hyder Garcia. This is the guy who oversees our elections. Hyder Garcia is from Venezuela. And he was brought here by some people, both Republicans and Democrats, to Tarrant County. He came from Lake Tahoe before he came here, and he was working for Smartmatic. Now, he came here in 2018, and Tarrant County was red all the way up until when he got here. I don't know if this is a massive coincidence or what, but I think that there is some things that are happening that are not good, and I want to tackle this because I owe it to everybody that's here in Precinct 4 to know what's going on, to be transparent about this as well, not just with infrastructure, but to let them be transparent about what's happening with elections. Because there is so much anger when I go and knock on people's doors. What's going on with the Tarrant County elections? What can you do as commissioner to fix this? Well, it's quite easy. All we have to do is, it's going to be difficult, but I think we can get rid of these machines and possibly do another method such as paper ballots. Now, I know it's going to be it's going to take extra time, but look, this is going to be the best way to prevent voter fraud. I don't understand what's taking place in these machines. The elderly people that sit on the commissioner's court, they do not know what's happening. They're just sitting on there. You got the elections administrator approaching them saying, hey, commissioners, this is what we've got. We got heart voting machines, and that's what we use in Tarrant County, heart voting. Let's put these in, let's have a vote on this, and let's put them in all of our voting precincts here in Tarrant County. And what did they do? Yep, we'll vote on it. They don't understand this. They don't even know what Facebook is. And they're voting for something that's highly sophisticated. I don't know what's happening within these machines. And I know that there's probably some stuff happening that can create anomalies for these things to be hacked. And until we can understand what's happening with technology behind these machines, I don't think we should have them in place. I think that we need to, we owe it to the voters here. We need to reinstill trust to the people of Tarrant County of hey, your vote actually does count, because that's a big thing of when I go and knock is, what can you do about the elections? Another thing, you know, what can you do about my rising appraisals for my house? Tad, you know, my 3 years ago, my house was worth $300,000. Now it's worth $450,000. I think that the tax rate should have probably been capped at the rate it was maybe back in year 2000, and not have these skyrocketing tax rates and these appraisals on homes. You look out in Haltom City, these little lean-tos are only worth like $50,000, but it's appraised at $170,000. It's not worth that. And then, as you know, you're paying taxes on what your house is appraised at. And so the county, for instance, when they approved this budget, oh, they cut your tax rate by half a cent, right? Yeah, they did. And they can always go around, hey, I cut the tax rate. But they didn't, because all the appraisals on the homes are going up. And when the appraisals go up, well, your tax rate is, you're going to be paying more in taxes. So we're going to have to make some tough decisions within the county and do what we can and we owe it to the taxpayers. We owe transparency to let them know, hey, what are you actually paying in when you pay taxes? Well, there's five different entities. You're paying your school board, TRWD, county tax, then you're paying the city, and then what's the other one? Tarrant County Community College. Usually you're paying either four or five, depending if you're unincorporated or if you're within the city. We've got to be transparent, let people know exactly where their money's being spent across the board in taxes. But as a commissioner, the county tax rate is something that that we can see, and I believe we can take some money off of that and be able to put money back in these taxpayers' pockets. JPS Hospital, that's another thing we oversee. There's an $800 million bond that was approved back in 2018. You know, it gets approved, but everybody I'm talking to and knocking on their doors are like, God, I'm so upset over this bond that was approved for this hospital. I don't think it's appropriate to build this thing up like the Taj Mahal, because they're working basically on the cosmetics to make it look nice and building up all this. And that's, to me, I don't think it's appropriate. If we're going to do anything, we need to rely on the quality of healthcare and not rely on building these massive buildings for a county hospital. This is something I don't think is appropriate. I'll be able to appoint two members of the board of managers if I do get elected to this position, and we'll definitely have some say on doing some things with the JPS Hospital. But we're going to have to make some tough decisions regarding that. And I will work with the next conservative county judge to make sure we do real tax cuts within Tarrant County. There's going to be a lot of things that we're going to look at, but ultimately, like I was telling you, we owe it to the taxpayer. We have the sixth highest tax the sixth highest tax rate that we pay within the state of Texas. We have 254 counties, and everybody's tax rate is going up in these little areas of these homes, like I was saying, Haltom City or River Oaks, Blue Mound. For a little lean-to, you're paying $4,500 in taxes. That was what my dad was paying on his nice house that that's over in Eagle Mountain Lake back 3 years ago. And then now he's paying a lot more.
Right. So as you go through this election cycle, kind of trying to hit on a couple of points that you made here, a lot of people feel that in taking the voting fraud thing completely out of this, because that's not where I'm going with this, a lot of people feel like their vote doesn't count, period. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't matter. Republican, Democrat, left, right, conservative, liberal, you know, or, you know, centrist. Everybody up there is just the same thing. You know, we just change the names, change the faces, and government doesn't do really anything for me, right?
Yes.
So how can you go in and prove all those people wrong?
Well, first off, I've never held public office. I have 0 years of political experience. I'm a grassroots guy. And one thing that I did find out that hit me quite hard as I was on this this political campaign trail is that the establishment, they don't want somebody like me. Because I don't fit the narrative, I don't fit the politics that they want me to implement.
Or you haven't paid your dues,
yeah,
yet, right?
That's right. And they're like, this guy's too conservative. If he got in office, well, you know, whoa, I don't think he would act in the best interest of maybe these moderate city council members of Fort Worth would want me to do. Because, you know, in all honesty, I'm a very conservative guy. And I want to see what's best for Tarrant County. I don't want us to be the middle of the road. I want to keep our conservative values in Tarrant County and push us over to the right. I'm definitely not in favor of, I mean, you see what happened in Dallas County. See what happens over in Travis County. I promise if I'm elected, I will stop this from coming here to Tarrant County. I don't think that that the people over in Dallas County even really want this. You just have these left-wing nut jobs that get into power, and you see what Clay Jenkins has done to Dallas County. They put the power back in the hands of the criminals and of these people that don't do anything for the county. And what do they do for the people that work hard and want to see the county flourish? They cast them to the side. I'm here for the common man. And people know that. And people know that if I get into this office, that I'm going to represent them, the people. And I think that there's a big force behind the scenes within the Tarrant County Republican Party that do not want to see someone like me to get in.
Why?
I think that they can't control me. They know that they can control some of the other guys who are moderates and that have been in that game. They already hold some kind of political position. They know that they can basically hold their feet to the fire and say, hey, look, if you don't implement our moderate or liberal policy, you know, we've got this on you, or we can do this to you. For me, I owe nobody. I only owe my allegiance to God and my constituents. So I think that because I'm a newcomer, I'm a first-time office seeker, they're just like, whoa, man, this guy, he's got all this charisma, charm. He's very outgoing. He's a big extrovert. But at the same time, if we get somebody like him in office, I don't think we're going to be able to, you know, control him like we want. There's a lot of moderates in the Fort Worth City Council. I don't think I have to tell you guys that. Even the mayor's office, their agenda is something that I don't really I don't fit. I don't like their moderate policies. I don't like a lot of the stuff that they want to have for Tarrant County. And ultimately, to keep a big municipality like Fort Worth in check, you need a conservative county government. If we have that, we will put Tarrant County in a very conservative spot, because right now we don't have that. I believe that we have more moderate policies within the county government, because these guys have been there for ages. And when you don't have new blood, new ideas get brought in, you get the stalemate and you just, you're part of the machine. Even if you came in there like my guy, he came in there 38 years ago. He probably came in there with good intentions, but over time, because he became a career politician, that just dwindled away. And he forgot why he came in there. And now he's just, yes, yes, vote. Because as a county commissioner, that's what you do, you vote. And he's just there to push a button now. And for me, I promise you guys as well, I will never be in there for 38 years. I want to be in there for a couple of terms and move on to something bigger and better, because I owe it to the people of the county and the state of Texas. This is not something our founding fathers would want in the first place, is for someone to sit in one political position for this long, suck the life out of it, and just sit there and take a salary. I mean, they give each other salary raises all the time, and they did that back in, I think, August or September last year, 3.1% raises. And what is this? This doesn't do any favors for us. I think that we've got to hold these guys accountable, because nothing's been done in terms of infrastructure growth within Tarrant County Precinct 4. And when you don't produce and you vote to give yourself a raise, I think it's a disgrace. And so I think the best thing that this guy in this position could have done was just hold a special election. He doesn't come to commissioner's court. He's been there. I don't think he's been there for like 2 or 3 years in person. He comes via Zoom. And I mean, he's sick. I don't know, he's probably afraid of COVID, but he's still taking taxpayer money, and they give himself a raise, or they give them all themselves a raise, and then they expect, hey, I'll run again. So I'm here to end that.
Wait a second. We need to be county commissioners. If we can actually just show up via Zoom and we get like checks and we really don't have to do anything.
Well, be honest,
he's actually wanting to do the job. I'm thinking more along the lines, I need to be one of these dudes that really don't do anything.
Well, we've been on this interview for 35 minutes, and prior to about 2 or 3 years ago, the only idea I had of a commissioner was Commissioner Gordon in the Batman movies.
Right.
And so I'm still struggling to get that out of my head at the moment. So.
Well, I'm thinking more along like Roger Goodell as the NFL commissioner, which he really doesn't do anything either.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of liking this.
Maybe investigate it a little bit. Yeah. But I think
in order to run as a commissioner, you have to like fill out paperwork, and you and I aren't going to do that. That's too much work.
Yeah,
I just want the benefit of showing up to a Zoom call and getting a check for it. I really like that idea.
Now, Larry, well, you're still a pretty young guy. And so, you know, some of the younger voters just, you know, this may be the first year they're eligible to vote, right? But they're very influenced by social media, by celebrities, and by, I guess, the progressive woke inclusion of certain narratives that find their ways into music, into movies, into all influence in their life. And I know that one of the ways conservatives, strong conservatives, are attacked is that they're the party of anti-science, they're not progressive, you know, they don't care about minorities. And unfortunately, this is something which kids get bombarded with so much, and they very rarely will sit or tune into something like this and listen to what the truth actually is, that, you know, we're kind of losing this generation which is coming through at the moment, because one party controls the influx of their information for the most part. What can you say to the young people listening to this? And we do have a pretty, you know, young viewership overall compared to some of the podcasts out there which will discuss political matters. But what will you say to the young people that you can make better for them as they come through this life stage of going through college, starting a family, wanting to buy a house, getting a job? How are you going to make their future better?
Oh, yeah. Your vote matters. And I know that people are really turned off of what happened in the 2020 election. But honestly, if we get people that come out and vote, we really can get good folks in power. At this point in time, I have seen such a young group of people sweeping across Tarrant County to seek these offices, not just with mine, but within the district clerk's race, within the county judge race. We are actually going to be putting a lot of people that are under like 55 years old in a lot of county positions. And this usually wasn't the case, 4 years ago. When they see somebody like me that's just an average Joe, and I am, I, I, I'm nobody special. I'm here because I have the heart, the tenacity to lead. And when people see somebody like me step up to the plate, I think this really does instill hope that, hey, look, if you want to enact positive conservative change in your area, and it does affect everybody. People don't understand just how much policies that we deal with on the county level that does affect everybody in their daily life. Once they see this and it's brought to life like I'm doing right now, then they definitely understand, hey, I have to vote. The only way for me to make a change is to get out. And for instance, we talked about infrastructure, healthcare, voting. We oversee the voting precincts, the hospital district. This all affects everybody. Your county tax rate. And when people do understand, I think it really changes some hearts. But I think the sad part that's been happening, as I've been going to door to door to door to door and talking to folks, really the average age is very old. In Tarrant County, it's 71. This has got to change. People just seem to start understanding that when they hit 35 or 40, you should start voting. No, you should start voting when you're 18. I did it. I knew how important voting was when I turned 18, even way before that. I just couldn't vote until I was 18. I was always a Republican. I was never a Democrat, so I couldn't start, you know, voting until I turned 18. You know how some of this happens where people start to vote at 12 or, you know, 15, and, you know, they'll get...
Or 150.
Yeah, or they'll start, yeah, if you're still dead, they'll pull out the ballots. But, yeah, I mean, I understood just how important it was. And so I never missed a time to vote. Even when I was overseas, I voted. I think I voted 6 or 7 times when I lived over in New Zealand, Australia.
In one election.
No, definitely not.
Oh, okay.
God, I tried to
yeah, that, yeah that could be taken out of context.
I knew how important our voting system is. No other country in the world has the type of government like we do, and I know that you have to participate in this thing. And so from 18 all the way up until I die, I will be voting, because our founding fathers put this mechanism in place to keep big cities in check to these liberal places like California. I mean, can you imagine just the vision that our founding fathers had? Having two voting mechanisms in place, the electoral vote and then the popular vote. And they had that vision that someday the United States was going to be this big, big country that was going to grow in population and have huge cities. But they knew that if we didn't have the electoral process in place, they were going to overrun the United States. And so I really take
yeah, my... Yeah, but you could also argue that's why they set up the Senate and the House of Representatives that way, where the House of Representatives for the longest time didn't have a cap on the amount of members, and then we finally capped that. So you had the Senate with equal representation, and then you had the House that was represented by population, which it still is today.
Yes.
But then they eventually capped the number of members.
Yes.
So even looking at that, they realize there has to be this equality. You know, everybody's got to have an equal voice somehow. But yes, certain populations, because of putting more taxes in, things like that, need to have a little bit more say, but you have to have that check and balance.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, like, we're not a democracy. We have elements of a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, right? And so most people, they don't understand that. They're like, well, this is not the democratic way. Well, no, we're not a democracy. We just have that element. And I'm so glad when you love history and you can appreciate it and you can appreciate what our founding fathers did for our country, then you'll realize, wow, man, there is no other better place on this planet but the U.S. And I could speak for that because I lived in 4 other countries for long periods of time, and no other one has this type of mechanism that we have that keeps us in this.
Well, we could never truly be a democracy, especially because it would be easy nowadays with technology. If everybody had a vote, right? And in a true democracy, that's where the people speak. I mean, if you look at democracy and they're like, hey, we're going to create a train, but we're going to use the democratic method to go ahead and name this train. Everybody goes in, training McTrain face.
Yeah.
You know, that literally we would cripple this country in like 2 months. Well, that's, if we that's were true democracy.
True democracy is basically popularism.
Yes.
And popularism nowadays can be influenced by things which are not important. I mean, when you look at...
McTrain face.
Yeah, Obama's last term in office. I mean, he had, you know, Beyonce and all these people visit the White House to try and get this young vote. And it's like, oh, I'm going to vote for Obama because he invited Beyonce, he invited Jay-Z, he invited all these people to the White House. And it's like, how on earth does that have any influence on what this dude's going to do when he's in office? His policies, how these things are going to affect you and your kids, your relatives, your friends, all the people you love. What does Jay-Z come into the White House have to do with anything? But he realized it's populism.
Yes.
He realized it's a popular vote. He's got all of these celebrities willing to flood their Instagram, their Twitter with support, and he rode that wave, which was a smart thing to do. I'm not knocking for it.
Absolutely.
I mean, Obama was a genius when it came to actually, you know, moving the public away from areas of concern to areas of entertainment. And Hillary did the same thing on her campaign. She got people like Katy Perry in there, all these people doing this, you know, basically free publicity for her. And she could hide behind the curtain and basically detract away from all people's misgivings about her and be like, oh, I can see Katy Perry's boobs, you know. And that was basically a lot of her
campaign. Is that why you voted for Hillary?
No, I watched that one with the sound off, but, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, it really is sad what you just said, but it's the truth. We have people, and it's I think it's a big voting block that is kind of young when we talk about large elections, right? The presidential election, you're going to have a lot more younger people come out. And they use that to their advantage because they knew that we have a population that is more concerned about, you know, who's the most popular singer, who's going to be the next movie star out there, and they do not understand what is even going on outside of their neighborhood. But they've got their phone, they're watching on TV shows, who's the singer coming up, and what did Obama do? He took advantage of our American people and their limited knowledge about, hey, these people actually don't matter. They're no smarter than anybody else. They can sing, but that's it. They don't bring anything to the table. For me, I never bought into that. My entire life, I've been the leader. In high school, if a pack of people went to go do something, I went the opposite direction. I never, ever wanted to participate in that. And even till this day, you've got to have leaders. You got to have people that are concerned that step up and fight back against these folks. I have never looked up to what you were talking about. But the fact of the matter is, the overwhelming of the majority of the population does. So we've got to have folks like me that are going to be conservative, that can resonate with the rest of these folks. I'm just, like I said, an average person. And let them know, hey, don't go down that path. You don't have to go and vote for somebody just because there's you got a Katy Perry or you've got... But, I mean, they use that, and it's genius. We've got to figure out with the Conservative Party, the Republican Party, on how we can attract younger, more vibrant voters. We are attracting a lot of these folks to the party. I think it is happening. It is happening at a slower pace. But we've got to do better. And we've got to do better across the board, whether it be in the county, the state, the U.S., on getting younger folks drawn into the party at a faster rate.
Well, I think one of the struggles, and I've argued this for years, is, you know, you got one dude in the White House, you know, and then you've got, you know, a couple of senators for your state, and then you've got a representative for a, you know, smaller piece of the population. But really, when it comes down to it, who's in the White House and who your senator isn't going to fix I-35, isn't going to lower your property taxes, isn't going to do all that. Your county is, your city mayor is, or your city council, rather, things like that. But we focus too much, really, on what goes on in Washington versus what goes on in, say, Fort Worth. what goes on in Tarrant County. And then you have the off-year elections, right? And everybody ignores that. It's always, you know, the every four-year election. That's when the voter turnout's big. And then you have the midterms, and nobody really seems to care. How can we shift people to focus more on local politics, on what a county commissioner does, what a county judge? We joke with Tim O'Hare. It's like, you know, if you come back and you win, you got to wear a black robe. You know, he's like, well, I'm not that kind of judge, kind of like you said, right? But there's a lot of people that don't know. They think, oh, county judge, he's something to do with the courts, right? Because you hear the word judge, right? It's either American Idol or it's something to do with the courts. That's, they hear the word judge. They, commissioner, we joked about Yellowstone. It's like most people didn't know what a fish and wildlife commissioner was until they watched Yellowstone. Like, oh, we like Kevin Costner, right? So now we know what a commissioner kind of does. They go out and kill people, apparently. And so you said you're not going to do that, so we appreciate that. But how do we get that? It, you know, do we go to the schools? Do we, you know, try to get people more involved in the local politics beyond just putting some road signs out? Like, how could you fix that issue just in your precinct in Tarrant County to get more people involved in local politics?
Technology. I think Tarrant County is, the entire Tarrant County office, I think we're way behind on technology as well. I talked to the district clerk. The type of technology in there is I think it goes back like 40 or 50 years. They haven't even updated it.
Are they using dial-up internet?
I think so. Actually, I think it's worse. I think it's like from when we did the moon landing, and we talked about that. And this is another young, vibrant guy that is seeking public office, and we talked about what we can do to bring some high technology into Tarrant County, be more transparent with the people, make it easier. Because right now it's like going back into the 1980s. We can't do this. We're the third largest county, as I've been, you know, beating over and over. We've got to bring us at least to a point where people are like, oh man, I can access this through my phone, through the Tarrant County website. I can go to the clerk's office. I can access these documents at a click of a finger. We shouldn't have these people go to the commissioner's office or the district clerk's office, and it takes ages for paperwork. We've got to at least do something. And for me as a county commissioner, I want to do everything that we can to fully be able to get technology out to the people's fingertips, to let them know, like I was telling you, be transparent. Where's this money going for a road? Use technology to the fullest extent. Do videos, do small 30-second clips. Let people see, oh, okay, well, you know, here I am at a school today. I'm addressing this with, you know, this high school to let them know about exactly what we do as a county commissioner. Just be out there in the public. Just be seen. Let people.
Yeah, but you got to make it fun, too. And I think that's part of the issue. I know, like, Southlake, for instance, they're social media presence with their police department is almost like Wendy's on Twitter. You know, they're making jokes about, you know, the speed limits on roads, whatever, and they're getting a lot of people following along with that.
And the city because, of Keller government do the same thing.
No, they're following right along with it. You got to make things entertaining. They can't just drone on and be boring. And quite honestly, I think that's why, you know, the Democrats or liberals or whatever get behind the entertainers or whatever, because they're entertaining and people don't want to be bored, right? You got to make it fun. And you can even do that in business. You know, you got to make things fun, because once it becomes boring, nobody cares.
Yeah.
They tune out.
I also think that the reason the Democrats use a lot of celebrities is because a lot of Democrat politicians lack a lot of character. It's identity politics. And so to take, I guess, the focus away from their lack of character, they actually project, you know, their popularity onto somebody else. This person's going to bring in the votes for me because I don't have enough, you know, I guess, policies which are that important, which resonate with enough people to get voted in myself. So I have to rely on other people who are popular to carry my name with me. Now, through the pandemic, I think people thankfully have realized that it does make a big difference, local politics, state politics, to national politics, because if we look at how the Northeast and the West Coast are still dealing with COVID, and yet the freedom we have here in Texas and they have in Florida, people have suddenly seen that at a state level, you know, it's important, you know, to vote in state elections, yes, because otherwise we could be like the coasts. But still at the local level, I think people still think the majority of decisions that affect everyday people's lives come at the state level rather than the local level. And I think that's the hardest thing, like you're alluding to. How do we educate people that it is very important to vote in local elections? That is going to be the first thing that affects your everyday life. Not the person in the White House, not the state politicians, it's your local politicians. And that's going to be the biggest battle, trying to convince people, if you're going to vote anywhere, vote in your local elections, because that's going to have the first and foremost influence on your life.
Absolutely. Because, yeah, I mean, you pretty much highlighted everything that everybody has to know, is that everything is, well, the majority of everything that affects your life is done at that local level. I think being a young, vibrant guy, getting people together in certain communities, because there's 15 municipalities within Precinct 4, get together at little town halls, let people understand, hey, I'm Larry Carpenter, I'm your new County Commissioner Precinct 4, this is what I plan to do. Have these little outings here and there all over these precincts to let people know, because I think they do know, they hear this name, but they're like, well, how does this person affect my life? And be able to educate them. Now, bringing in the fun aspect of things and getting celebrities, I don't know, maybe I could bring you two guys.
No, we're not celebrities. No. Yeah, we do a terrible job with that.
But, I mean, you're right. Making politics fun for them is something that is kind of like a prerequisite for some of these people for them to be able to get involved with any type of politics. But I think having someone who's young, first off, does trigger a little bit of a curiosity. But you're right. The Democrats, the one thing I'll take my hat off to them for doing is getting people that are popular, whether it be musicians or movie stars, to come to their events, because they don't like the Democrats. They just like the movie star. And when they see the person with that movie star, they're like, well, they must be good. It's an absurd thinking. And for me and you and everybody else that has a brain, we would never do this. Like, as a Republican voter, we would never go and vote for somebody because they see somebody with a popular person. We're voting on based upon policy. And some people do vote based upon look, but most of the time it's on policy. So, you know, it's going to be a real interesting thing to happen if I do. Well, probably not if, but when I make it to the finish line in this race and be able to inform the public, be out there, be that commissioner that will be very transparent with society and make it fun. How do we get people re-engaged and let them understand? Because there's so much policies that we do.
Free beer is how we take it.
Yeah, but then you have people like me who don't drink. It's not going to work for. But
free seltzer water.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think it has to be fun, as opposed to they have to see it's important. Because I would really be happy if we completely separated politics and entertainment. And I don't want us to go the same route as the Democrats in playing this identity politics. Oh, you know, John Mayer backs me, or, you know, the lead singer of this band, you know, loves me and follows me on Twitter. I want to completely separate politics and entertainment, because entertainment influence can be bought. Yes. You know, and anything you can buy, you know,
politicians can be bought.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, sully your argument there. What you got to actually do is get the people that aren't involved in politics involved, but get them educated. Mm-hmm. Let them make their own minds up. Let them have their opinion and get out there and vote, and not just follow, you know, somebody because, they like a Katy Perry song. So if Katy Perry tells them to vote for you versus me and they like Katy Perry,
she won't return my emails, I'll be honest with you.
Well, I know. You're kind of creepy with that.
Well, but you shouldn't have included the photos of them on this.
Yes. Right. Yeah, you shouldn't. No. Yeah, you shouldn't do that. But I think when you go towards that aspect of trying to take something that somebody already likes and then get them involved, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, because they normally
if you go to your local dog park, or you go to the surf, you know, whatever.
The club. Surf shop?
Yeah.
In Tarrant County?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So are you going to support all the surf shops that are here in Tarrant County?
Three members on there. Great Valley Lake. As soon as that water comes up.
Yeah, because surfboards are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so loud.
Probably not the best example, but
yeah. Where did that even come from?
I think I was thinking of skateboards, but.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were thinking of skateboards, and surfing came up.
Surfing came up.
Okay, I'll give you that.
You got me excited.
Yeah. So as we kind of close here, can you give everybody not only when and how they can vote, and only one time, by the way. Only one time. But when and how they can vote, and, of course, how they can reach out to you, find out more information about you, all that good stuff.
So early voting is going to start just around the corner. It's the 14th to the 25th of February, and then voting day is actually on March 1st. But you can go anytime then. And then you can go to carpenterforcommissioner.com. Go to my website. You can request a yard sign. You can help donate to the cause. Right now, we've got an awesome ground game. I've got people that are helping every single day. They're door knocking. They're talking to voters. They're putting out yard signs. We're constantly making voter contact. I was doing a lot of these meet and greets, going to forums, talking to people that are already voters. And that's one thing I stopped. That doesn't produce votes. So I've strictly dedicated all my time with only making contact with voters and people that don't know what a commissioner is. So, they can go to carpenterforcommissioner.com. They can go to my Facebook. They can go to Instagram, Twitter. They can see exactly where we're at. They can also request a newsletter and see where we're at every single week with the progression of my campaign. But I would really love for anybody that is interested in the position that I'm running for to reach out. My number is available anywhere. They can easily find any information they need and to at least help me get across the finish line. We have a very, very good shot of doing this because, you know, with this campaign and with this position, like I was bringing up to you earlier, we're voting on everything, right? We're voting on, you know, this interlocal agreement between the city and the county, or the, you know, Azle or the county to help bring in infrastructure. It's a constant thing. And one thing that that I have noticed is, you know, one of my opponents, he does not vote. And I think that is very detrimental if we had somebody like that, because this is what it's all about. We're there. We're doing this every single time we go to commissioner's court. And on top of that, voting is something that we all, that we should all participate in. We shouldn't take this for granted. I never have. And so having somebody with a strong voting record like myself that has voted in every single election that's been out there, I think that we've got to go with somebody like myself who is a strong constitutional conservative candidate, both socially and fiscally, and be able to put us back in our rightful spot. And I hope that I can gain y'all's vote over the next couple weeks that are coming up.
Well, great. Well, hey, Larry, thanks for joining us. And if you're watching this on YouTube, please click our logo in the bottom and subscribe. It does help us out. And we will go ahead and include, you know, your website and all that in the show notes as well. So if you didn't catch those, you can find those in the show notes either on YouTube or, of course, on the audio only. And we will catch you guys on the next one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Wolf and the Shepherd podcast. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, thewolfandtheshepherd.com, to your friends and colleagues. And please leave us a positive review on iTunes when you get a chance. Check us out on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for additional content. Join us next time for another episode of The Wolf and the Shepherd.